Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
The successful or fruitful people, good parents and good marriages and all of that, are that they observe their patterns and they realize, oh, I don't have a problem. I got a pattern, and I need to change this pattern and start doing this, whatever this is, a different way. And then they change groups from unfruitful to fruitful.
Valuable insight there from Dr. Henry Cloud to get our program off to a good start today here on the Homeward broadcast and during the next half hour. Parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns will be talking with Dr. Cloud about 10 tips for living a more purposeful life and starting with that whole distinction between what's a problem and what's a pattern in our lives. We all want to be fruitful, whether it's in our marriage, in our parenting season, on the job, with our fellow neighbors and coworkers, and going to get some good practical insight on how to do that today. From the studios of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference makers since 1899. Welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Check us out online at homeward.com. Learn more about the ministry here and ways that you can benefit from what we have to share with you. And now here's Jim.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. I am thrilled to have you today, and I'm also thrilled to have my guest. Henry Cloud is with us today, Dr. Henry Cloud. We're talking about 10 tips for living a purposeful life, and Henry is an acclaimed leadership expert, best-selling author. His work has been featured in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Publishers Weekly. Henry is not only an acclaimed author, speaker, but he's also a good friend of mine. He is both a psychologist and a student of spiritual life. He's got two daughters and a lovely wife. They live in the Los Angeles area. Henry, a pleasure to have you on the broadcast.
Good to be here, Jim.
It's been too long. I actually was saying before the broadcast to you that I see your name every day because you've got something that comes out every day called The Cloud, Dr. Cloud, and it just is a great tip.
I think it's called The Daily Dr. Cloud, and the first time I saw that, I went, oh my goodness, like that's what everybody needs.
You know what? I love it. You know, today's was on, you know, what kind of decision you need to make for tomorrow. I think about it every day. So you're speaking to my life every day.
Well, it's a fun little thing.
It is a great thing. And you've got a new book, and I read all things Henry Cloud. In fact, I want to say to my listeners, honestly, I read all things Henry Cloud. I've probably read every one of his books, and this one is called Never Go Back, 10 Things You'll Never Do Again. And yet, as I read this book, I thought, wait, I do a lot of these things. So, Henry, you're going to be our therapist today through this conversation, and I'm so grateful to have you on the broadcast. Never go back. Oh, my gosh, that's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to do in marriage. It's a hard thing to do with your kids. It's actually a hard thing to do in business.
Yeah.
But you've learned some lessons along the way to, you know, never go back.
Well, you know, a couple of things, Jim. The title is an interesting one, you know, in and of itself and how it came about. I wanted to write a book called I Repent. Because basically the idea of repentance is, look, I've been walking into a wall. Why don't I turn around and go a different direction? That's how God really talks about this thing. It's you've been going down a certain path or whatever that's, you know, not getting where you want to go. And to repent, it just means to turn around. So I go to my publisher and said I want to write a book called I Repent. And he goes, I'm not publishing that book. I said, why? He said, it's too negative. And I said, no, I'm going to prove you wrong. So I go ask like 100 people, what do you think about this title? Every one of them said, oh, I'd never read that book.
Right.
And they said, what's it about? And I said, well, it's about these wake-up calls, these awakenings that people have, that once you realize that truth and you go through that doorway, you never go back to doing it the old way. And every one of them said, oh, I'd love to read that book.
Yeah.
I was going, that's the same thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is the same thing, but sometimes it's just a matter of words. But, you know, let me ask about that. I thought about it when I was right at the beginning of your book. I was thinking, wait, I know people who go back to the same type of relationship. I was thinking of a woman who I'd had a great conversation with. And she said, boy, I made a mistake with, you know, husband number one. I'm made the same mistake with husband number two. So she did go back. I said, did you learn from husband number one? She said, well, I thought I did, but I didn't really make any changes. So in some ways, she did need to repent.
Exactly, exactly. And the whole idea here on these awakenings, Jim, is that it's sort of like when people go through puberty. What we see is, you know, if a kid goes through puberty, they have gone through an internal change, never to go back. And if you look at, broadly speaking, if you take successful people, and what I mean by successful is the Bible's definition of it is fruitful. You know, in the areas of life we care about, our relationships and our work and meaningful work and our community and all of that, fruitful people, the difference in fruitful people and other people is really, there's not much difference if you just do the demographics of it. That you know, there's high IQs in both sides, there's rich and poor in both sides, and all of that. The difference is that the successful or fruitful people, good parents and good marriages and all of that, are that they observe their patterns and they realize, oh, I don't have a problem. I got a pattern, and I need to change this pattern and start doing this, whatever this is, a different way. And then they change groups from unfruitful to fruitful.
You know, yet at the same time, I know in relationships, I've been married to Kathy now 40 years, and I've known you all those
years. I feel for her deeply.
We just got back from Italy on a wonderful trip, and we went, 40 years, that sounds old. We don't think we're old, and then we go, oh my gosh, we have been. But you know, I still want to change her. I still want to put out a pattern and tell her, well, this is a pattern that's a negative pattern. It doesn't work, but why do I keep doing that?
Well, it's interesting. I think, you know, as I've pondered that and all the research talks about that everybody to some degree has this emphasis to try to change another person. And frankly, Jim, I think part of that is good. Part of that's the image of God. You know, God is a change agent. God is somebody that grows things. God is somebody that envisions a better future and then brings that to fruition. And I think the basic tendency that we love our spouses, we love our friends, we love our kids, that we want better for them than sometimes they can see for themselves, A. B, we went through this thing called the fall. And what happened in the fall was that basically humans lost ownership of something that psychologists call agency. And what agency means is that I am an agent, I am the one who is in control of certain behavior or certain things. And basically, the Bible's word for this is self-control. Now, you go back to Genesis 3, and what happened? Adam did something, and then God comes along, and Adam sees the solution to his problem. When God said, what's going on here? He said, well, it's the woman that you gave me. So God, if you would do a better job and design a different woman, or if she would do a better job and not eat of the tree, then I would be fine. And so now we got this double impulse inside of us to, I want what's better for you. And by the way, if I can change you, my life's going to get better. And the problem is it violates, and Jim, we're talking about like the created order here. We're talking about gravity. It violates the created order when we think we can take over the control, the volition, the choices of another person.
Yeah.
And it won't work.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Let me quote you. You said consequences are about giving the person the freedom to choose what they will choose and then are choosing what our response will be in light of that choice. That I underlined that.
And you talk about parenting especially.
Yeah, yeah. That's a hard one.
Well, it is hard, but one of the goals of parenting is this: to take the need to change off of your shoulders and put it onto the shoulders of the only one that can do anything about the behavior, and that's the child. And I'm going to say this again: the last thing as a parent, the last thing you want, is control of your child. Never. Ever try to think about my job is to get these kids under control. No, you want to be building what the Bible calls self-control.
Yeah,
and the only way to do that is to put the agency the driver of the behavior back on their shoulders. And that is a daily, daily struggle, but it's the goal of one of the goals of parenting.
Yeah, and it also has to be age development too, because you're going to do a lot more controlling of a 4-year-old than you are of a 14-year-old.
Well, let's unpack that phrase. Controlling of the 4-year-old. Now tell me what that means.
Well, it means I'm not going to let my 4-year-old, not that I have one, but I'm not going to let a 4-year-old, you know, cross the street and go to the mall on her own.
Right. But are you going to stand there and hold the 4-year-old by the arms and make sure that they don't go out into the street? Or are you going to take control of what you can control and take Joey up to the curb and say, okay, Joey, now we're out for ice cream, and the people that get to go out for ice cream are also the people that wait on the curb and don't step out in the street, and they look at mommy and daddy and they follow our lead. And if you do those things, then you get ice cream. If you don't, then you can't be today one of those people that goes and gets ice cream. Now, Joey, you're in charge of that. What would you like to do?
Yeah.
Now, certainly, if Joey dies in the street, I'm going to catch him. But every single orientation,
sure,
from the toddler putting the food in their mouth instead of the light socket, every orientation is to get them in control of their behavior, not me.
Yeah, great, great input. You know, I was talking again to you right before the broadcast, and I was saying that oftentimes I'll say to couples or wonderful single parents or whoever I'm talking to on parenting, really the goal is not to raise necessarily obedient children as much as it is to raise responsible adults. So we parent them to help become responsible adults. They've got to make their own choices. Hey, listen, we're going to have to take a break. We'll be right back. Every one of us now want Dr. Henry Cloud to come home with us, and he can straighten out our home. His book is called Never Go Back, 10 Things You'll Never Do Again. And I just read this book, and I absolutely love this book. I highly recommend it. Roger's going to tell you about it right now.
Well, we've got information at homeward.com if you'd like to learn more about all things Henry Cloud. Of course, Henry is a part of our family in terms of his relationship with Jim going back so many years. And so anytime there's a new Henry Cloud resource out there, it automatically gets 2 thumbs up from Dr. Jim Burns. Henry's new book is called 10 Things You Should Never Do Again, and you can learn more about it at homeward.com. Also, this program here, you can go ahead and start podcasting along with us to record it, so you don't have to worry about missing a minute of it. Learn more about that at homeward.com. And now with the conclusion of today's program, here once again, Jim Burns.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Dr. Henry Cloud with us today. I am smiling because I love Henry Cloud. I love all things Henry Cloud. I read his books. I've known him for years and appreciate so much who he is. Interestingly enough, Henry has an amazing organization that helps leaders. And many times he's in front of the secular world, but at the same time, as you can tell, if you've been in this conversation at all, he also has a great faith and a deep faith. Henry, I'm just so honored to have you with us today. Author of Boundaries. I think the Boundaries series has sold about 4 million plus books, so you've influenced a nation. So great to have you with us. Hey, I wanted to ask you about that, actually. I mentioned this as I was just talking, that you do CNN, you'll be with the Wall Street Journal, you'll do these different things secular-wise, but at the same time, you are a person of faith. And even in the beginning of your book, you had I believe it was a television executive who said, oh my goodness, I Googled you and there's a lot more faith stuff, but I thought you were more kind of a leadership guru.
Well, it's a funny story, Jim. I was I had about 2 or 3 phone calls with one of the major network executives, and we're talking about doing a project, and everything was great, and you know, he's really interested in the stuff we're working on, and so he says, well, let's meet for lunch. So I walk in the restaurant and I walk up to the table, and I can tell there's something wrong. You know, the guys and I looking at me sort of askew, and I said, there's something wrong. He goes, well, he said, I thought you were a doctor. I said, well, I am. He said, well, I Googled you, and a 19-foot spinning Jesus came up over your head.
Oh, gosh.
I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I thought you were, you know, you're a psychologist, and I thought you were into, like, science and research and all of this stuff. And then I see you talking about going on Google, and you're, like, talking about all this faith stuff as well. He said, which are you? And I said, you know what? Everything I do, obviously, you know, is based in science and research, and what I find is that it's exactly the same thing that my faith teaches. And so for me, whether I'd quote the verse or not, we're still talking about reality and what works.
Yeah. And that is so key. And what I love about you and what I love about today's Christian world is you can study the science of helping people and the science of making a difference, but you can still do that and integrate your faith in a big way. And I think way too many people out there think you have to dump one or the other. You don't.
It's really funny, Jim, you know, and you can get in trouble with either side, right?
Sure.
If I show up with a psychologist t-shirt on and I got a real, you know, kind of angry fundy who's sitting out there, and they say, well, what's all this secular humanism? You know, if I say something like, you ought to be nice to your kids, I'm a psychologist, you know, with secular humanism. But if I quote a verse that says the same thing,
right. Then
I'm a good guy. Well, you go on the other side, and if you quote a verse, they don't want to hear all that religion, but if you give them the principle, they think, wow, that's the best thing I ever heard.
Exactly. Where did he get that?
Where did he get that?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, Henry. This brings me back to a conversation you and I had. I think it was before you were married. And again, as I've said with our audience, we have a long history. And I remember saying to you, Henry, how did you get so deep spiritually? And you looked at me. I doubt if you'll remember this conversation, and you said, you know, it's from the clients that I've worked with, the people that I've worked with. I've grown deeper faith-wise because of them. Talk about that.
You know, Jim, this is a big one for parenting and just for all of growth as well. We have a problem, I think, in the evangelical culture, and that is that we will sometimes get these little sort of like family phrases in the church,
yeah.
Right? And we have these little sayings. And one of them that you hear all the time, and people try to do this with their kids and everything else, one of them you hear all the time is, and you hear it all the time, is the truth shall set you free.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you got to know the truth, and we're going to teach them the Bible, and we're going to teach them, you're going to memorize this and all this kind of stuff. And in audiences, I will often ask them, okay, what is the verse right before that?
Mm-hmm.
And what it says is, what Jesus said was, if you hold to my teachings, if you walk in my ways, if you become my disciples, then, important word, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And what we do a lot of times is we'll learn this scripture, but we got to realize that has to be realized in real life.
Yeah.
And if you go, you know, you go all the way back to when Moses was laying all this stuff out for people. One of the things he said was, look, you got to, and this is what you do so great in all your books, Jim, is talk about, you know, parenting is not a lecture. Parenting is as you're walking, as Moses said, you're walking on the road, you're going to Disneyland, you're going, walking to school, you're reminding that you're talking about stuff, you know, you're putting it on the doorpost. And the way God designed the brain is that parenting and marriage and everything else is a process. It's not a handbook or a class.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a process. And it's three steps forward, two steps back, five steps forward, six steps back. And it is the process. Yeah.
Well, you left out a step in there.
Which step?
Well, in between the forward and back steps, then you go hear Jim Burns, and he'll tell you how to do it.
Right, exactly.
That's the most important step.
Yeah. Well, I was telling your group this weekend that, you know, if they were saying, you are such an expert, and that's how I was introduced, and I said, yeah, come home and talk to my kids about that. They're not thinking I'm the expert at times.
Yeah, but that didn't mean anything, because Jesus said a prophet, you know, is without honor in his hometown. So
I'll quote that to my family. Hey, in your book, Never Go Back, 10 Things You'll Never Do Again, as you're thinking about that, one of the ones that just stuck out to me, because it's an issue I'm actually working with in my own small group for me personally. I'm trying to work on not being a people pleaser as much. And one of the, your fourth principle says, never go back to trying to please other people. You say you can't please everyone.
It's to please everyone.
Yeah.
Now, Jim, think about this. We are in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in prison from the way God designed us in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Every human is wired, and I'm talking about down to the very microbiology of the cells in your spine, in your stomach, in your brain, in your lower brain, your upper brain. Everything is wired for your entire body and mind and soul and spirit to come alive when someone smiles at you, when someone likes you,
right.
When someone is pleased with you. You look at a baby, and they got all sorts of video on this. You look at a baby, the mommy smiles at the baby, their entire being lights up like somebody put an electrical charge in them. You frown at them, and they just start to wither. And that's true from the womb to the tomb. Okay, so God's designed us that way. People's approval, people's care, all of that, it's good. We're supposed to care about what people think about us. Now, here's the problem. You go through Genesis 3, and now we're living in a world where everybody's not the same.
Right.
And so if I want everybody to smile at me, what that means is I got to be a bunch of different kinds of people. Because if a control freak or a narcissist or somebody without any values is happy with me, or if I'm a leader and I got to make a tough decision, or I'm a parent, I got to make a tough decision, and I need my kids to smile at me from their immature parts, then I can't do what I'm supposed to do. On the other hand, if the people that are loving and responsible and values-driven are pleased with me, then I know I'm doing a good job. So here's the deal. Once you realize, and I did a leadership event one time with Tony Blair where I had to interview him, and one of the things he told me was one of the most important realizations he had as a leader was this sentence: every decision divides. So whenever you decide something, just remember, there's some people that want to go one way, other people want to go another way, and you can never make a decision if everybody has to be happy. And Jesus put it this way: woe to you if everybody's happy with you. And so once you realize that, then you stop trying to make everybody happy or not make anybody mad. What you do is you make the right people mad. And so if I've got a kid, for example, that's being self-centered and snitty and all that kind of stuff, and I say, you know what, you're not going to be able to sit at this table and do that. If you want to be that way, you got to go up to your room and be in, you know, toddler purgatory or something. They're not going to be happy. But my job right then is not for them to be happy with me.
Right.
And when people start to realize that, and the way I put it in the book, you go from playing defense to offense.
That's
in
very
life.
Good. That's a great section.
And that is how you got to live.
No, exactly. You know, the Tony Blair, obviously, who led Great Britain, every decision divides. As parents, we've got to be able to understand that we're not to be our kids' best friend. We're actually not trying to be their best friend. We're trying to be their parent. And sometimes they're going to have to, just say, I don't like you right now. And that's probably a good thing.
Well, and you know what they got to learn is, and even if we don't, you know, try to figure out the very difficult question of am I their friend or am I their parent? Because that, you know, but even your friends sometimes, Joey, are going to say no to you.
Yes.
And what you've got to do is learn to love their no. Because if you are allergic to the word no, you're going to have a difficult life. And by the way, you know what? It's going to begin right now, that difficult life.
Yeah,
and I'm going to help introduce you to it.
That's great input. Henry, you got to come back. We've got to keep talking about this.
Oh, it's always fun, Jim.
Okay, great. You know, in many ways, what Henry was saying at the very end, that sometimes we have to get used to saying no. Well, you know what? God does that. And God sometimes says yes, God sometimes says wait, he sometimes says no, and we can learn so much when we understand that he is our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Parent, and I want to acknowledge that as you go about your day today.
That's a great affirmation, and it's words to live by, not just today, but every day. Our thanks again to Dr. Henry Cloud for joining us here on the program today on the Homeward broadcast, and Henry will be with us again on the next edition of Homeward as we continue this conversation on 10 tips for living a more purposeful life, and to Henry, he's the author of the brand new book called 10 Things You Should Never Do Again, which is really an attention-getting title, but it's definitely one that Dr. Jim Burns gives two thumbs up to. You can learn more about Henry's book at homeward.com. While you're online with us at homeward.com, make sure you also, there's another 10 book I want to tell you about, 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family. These are time-tested principles that Dr. Jim Burns has been studying, researching, and re-researching over the past 3 decades. And if you're looking for a way to build and instill that sense of value and purpose and fruitfulness in your own family, you'll want to read Jim's book, 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family. You can order a copy directly from our Homeward Online Resource Center. When you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. Of course, we appreciate that financial support. Go to homeward.com.
Well, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Homeward. You can give a gift through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 9-2-6-9-3. You can also friend me on Facebook, and if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can now get my tweets, 140 characters of positive words about parenting, marriage, and faith. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.